almost overlooked Jake's report on SSC, so prior to the SCALP committee report will be Jake's report from the SSC. And concerning our 4 o'clock agenda item on National Standard 2 briefing by Dr. Jim, it's most likely it's going to be tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the morning. Take it away, Jake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for keeping me in the agenda. As much as I love Danvers, I kind of can't wait to get back home. I'm here to report on our meeting that was held November 15th, I believe, about a month ago. We covered terms of reference for 3 FMPs, scallops, groundfish, and skates. I believe skates is not actually on your agenda for this meeting, but since it was on our agenda and we've submitted our report already, I'm going to cover our recommendations for skates today. I'm going to take these in the order that we addressed them. The first was scallops. We had 3 terms of reference for scallops. The first was to recommend OFL and ABC for the years fishing years 2014 and 2015. The second was to comment on incidental mortality estimates that the PDT provided. And the third was to comment on the draft terms of reference for the next sea scallop benchmark to be conducted as part of SAWSARC 59. In terms of OFL and ABC, we covered a lot of ground in the assessment, but one of the things we really focused on, which is illustrated in this graph here, is the 2012 recruitment estimates. You can see the estimates for 2012 recruitment are the highest in the time series, or nearly so. This was something that raised a little bit of concern among SSC members in terms of using projected biomass to set ABCs, and the reason is because we've gotten into trouble in the past with stocks that had very high recruitment estimates toward the end of an assessment time series that later turned out to be overestimated and yielded, and I think I made some notes about this, yielded to catch limits that were in retrospect too high because we were assuming recruitment to be more optimistic than it was. So we had some discussion about those past experiences, and one of the things we've done in response in those when we have those concerns is rather than setting increasing catch limits as we go forward in time, we'll set a catch limit for the first year in a spec cycle and retain it for later years. And the rationale for that is that these projection problems tend to get worse the further into the future you go. So you'll notice there's question marks next to all of those issues. And the reason is because we ultimately decided that we would follow the projections and we would allow the ABC and the OFL to increase from 2014 to 2015. And the major reason for that was, this is a image I pulled out of the PDT report. The inset in the upper left shows the back deck during one of the dredge surveys, and the background image shows is a result from the HABCAM survey. Both of these surveys do confirm that there are fairly high densities of 2 and 3 year olds on the bottom. So the PDT was confident and the SSC agreed that there does seem to be a very strong year class coming through, and this isn't some model anomaly, or we don't think it's some model anomaly that's leading to an overestimate of recruitment. On top of that, this image shows the biomass trend from the assessment, and basically what it shows is that scallop biomass right now is high. The resource is fairly healthy, so even if we are wrong about this, the risks are less than they are for other stocks that aren't as good a shape. So what that meant is we adopted the PDT recommendations for OFLs in 2014 of about 30,500 metric tons, and 2015 of just over 34,000 metric tons, and corresponding ABCs of just over 26,000 metric tons for 2014 and just under 30,000 for 2015. Along with that catch advice, we did make a note, though, that in light of the discussion about whether or not we should be or how we should be treating that estimate of high recruitment late in the time series and the consideration of whether to use some kind of a constant catch strategy instead of the projections. Despite our conclusion there, we did suggest that in the future we might want to develop some more consistent and transparent rules for when we would use projected stock growth as opposed to other approaches such as constant catch, so that we don't continue to make these decisions in a sort of spur-of-the-moment ad hoc way. As far as the incidental mortality question, the PDT reviewed a series of studies that were dated between 1973 and 2001 and summarized those findings for us. Just to be clear, we did not attempt to reach any sort of consensus on a best estimate. We didn't feel that that was our charge, and it was more to provide some general comments. We identified some considerations that should be borne in mind when thinking about incidental mortality, and these largely parrot some raised by the PDT, which include, since even that most recent estimate in 2001, quite a bit of time has passed, and there's been considerable evolution, certainly since the earliest estimates, in both fishing gear as well as fishing behavior in response to changes in management. And that's probably motivation to update these estimates. In doing so, some things that we might want to look at in more detail include the likelihood of size-specific differences in mortality rates. In other words, differential mortality between different sizes of scallops, and also the likelihood, and I think there was some evidence of this in the studies the PDT reviewed, that incidental mortality rates differ among substrates, and that if we do find strong differences with respect to size of scallops and or substrate, that should possibly be factored into assessments and catch advice. However, to get at those questions would likely, I can't think of any other way to get at them other than new research, which can be costly and take time. And before embarking upon that, we thought it would be useful to do some sensitivity analyses to see just how big an effect estimates either changed overall incidental mortality estimates or estimates that vary by size or substrate, how big an effect those really have and whether it's worth the time and expenditure of the research. That's a good segue into our comments on the terms of reference for SAWSARC 59. The first one was that the sensitivity analyses of incidental mortality rates could be addressed via term of reference 7. I should note that the numbering of terms of reference here was based on the draft we received at the meeting. I don't know if there's been any revision since then, so these numbers might not correspond, but this corresponds to the draft provided to the SSC in our meeting. So term of reference 7 addressed sensitivity analyses, and it didn't specify incidental mortality as one of the issues that could be examined, and I think we were suggesting that given that this question is before us, perhaps it could be elevated within that term of reference. Another comment was that term of reference 3, which was dealt with environmental drivers of recruitment. We endorsed that one, felt it's a worthwhile effort and would be a step, perhaps an incremental one, but a step nonetheless toward ecosystem-based approaches. There was a term of reference number 6, and the wording had to do with consideration of a new model, and we weren't sure what that meant, whether there was a specific model that was being proposed or whether it was something more general, and so we felt that one needed some clarification. And I think actually I should note that many of these comments have already been addressed by the Council's response to the NRCC, I believe, but letting you all know what we had to say anyway. We also suggested that pooled and regional assessment outputs should be developed in order to look at population status at different spatial scales. This is done to some degree in the assessment, but something we think is worthwhile and could perhaps be taken further. Also, this was a recommendation from our September meeting where we addressed some of these scallop questions but didn't have a quorum. So I believe these last two, actually, the pooled and regional assessment outputs as well as this recommendation to re-examine the process by which days at sea are calculated in the context of stock projections, those two were carryovers from our September meeting. There was a request at our meeting by center staff to prioritize these recommendations. They noted that There's a real tendency to overburden the assessment process, and many, the SSC and others, like to pile on terms of reference, perhaps not thinking as carefully about the ability of the assessment team to deal with them all. I suggested that we were not in a position to prioritize the recommendations. Largely that had to do with the time available and the fact that prioritization probably would have required some more preparation before the meeting. So we did not attempt to do that, but we did make clear that ultimately we defer judgment to the judgment of the assessment team regarding prioritization of all of the terms of reference and time allocation. And I meant to add another bullet here, and that suggested those terms of reference that can't be fully dealt with in the process of the assessment can be moved into the research track and dealt with for assessments down the track. Moving on to groundfish, we had one term of reference and then sort of a more informal request on groundfish. The term of reference was to recommend OFL and ABCs for Gulf of Maine haddock for fishing years 2013 to 2015. And we are also asked to comment on our likely willingness to recommend 2015 ABCs for pollock, Gulf of Maine winter flounder, and Georges Bank winter flounder in 2014 without new assessments. Those three assessments are getting a bit long in the tooth, and in the past when we've been asked for ABCs for stocks that are too far beyond the terminal year of the last assessment, we've expressed a lot of concern and even unwillingness to use the projections and instead have defaulted to things like just retaining status quo ABCs. So given that past experience, we were asked just to provide some general comments on that question. As far as Gulf of Maine haddock, some of the key discussion points. We're picking up the stock in response to industry reports and a council motion as a result that haddock are more widespread in the Gulf of Maine than the assessment seems to suggest they should be. The PDT did a pretty extensive analysis on this, and they concluded that while there's early evidence that the 2012 year class might be fairly strong, nothing they did really seemed to change the outcomes of the 2012 update, and they concluded that that remains the best estimate of the 2010 year class. So the assessment under which current catch advice is being developed, they suggested, is the best estimate for that cohort, and therefore that the OFLs and ABCs shouldn't be changed from what's on the books right now. And the SSC ultimately agreed with the PDT conclusions. We did note that the 2013 survey results, which are not available for the meeting, will lend more insight into the strength of both the 2012 and 2010 year classes and could be a basis for making adjustments in the near future. But we also noted that the best use of that survey data is in an assessment update. What we were hearing from the PDT was not an assessment update, was a series of analyses using 2012 survey results, but not in the context of an assessment update. The PDT noted that the time it took them to do the analyses that they presented to us was comparable to what would have been required for an update. So if there was real concern that something significant had changed since the 2012 update, then perhaps a 2013 update would have been a better use of their time. The SSC had some discussion about other information that doesn't fit well into an assessment, including spatial analyses and economic data that might lend some insights into changes in stock status. And we identified that sort of information could be useful, but stopped shy of recommending that we get some sort of extensive analysis along those lines, because at the moment we really don't have formal mechanisms for including that kind of information and adjusting catch advice. So we'd either be doing something ad hoc or simply saying, well, you know, this raises some eyebrows, but we're not sure what to do with it. So a general recommendation there, that information that doesn't feed directly into assessment that could be useful might require some kind of formal mechanisms for modifying catch advice so that it can be used. Our social scientists in particular were strongly supportive of this comment. So the catch advice for Gulf Maine cod remains the same as it was coming into our meeting. OFLs for 2014 and 2015 are 440 metric tons and 561 metric tons, with corresponding ABCs of 341 metric tons and 435 metric tons. With respect to this question about ABCs for 2015 ABCs for pollock, Gulf Maine winter flounder, and Georges Bank winter flounder, the SSC guessed that we were unlikely to recommend new ABCs for those stocks in the absence of assessment updates or at least some kind of updated information. So perhaps a look at least at the most recent survey results. In offering that response, we did note the PET comment that I just shared, which was that the time required to produce the fairly broad analyses they produced for Gulf of Maine haddock was comparable to what would have been required for an update and might have been better spent than an update. Chris Kellogg just pointed out to me that these comments are kind of moot now because I believe the NRCC has decided to do a 2014 update. They have not. Tom's shaking his head. For Gulf Maine haddock. Oh, wait, sorry, but I'm not on Gulf Maine haddock. Never mind. So this question still remains for these stocks. Okay, forget that last comment. If a fairly extensive analysis were going to take place, it might be better off to do an update. Some among the SSC, though, did feel that we might be willing to make some adjustments by simply looking at survey trends, but I wouldn't take that to the bank. And so in the absence of assessment updates or some sort of new information analyses, our guess is that the most likely outcome will be that 2014 ABCs would simply be carried over to 2015. In offering all of these responses, I want to make it very clear we're being asked about our likely decisions a year from now. And, don't yell at me if a year from now this changes. But this is how we think we would approach this question as of now. Skates, we had three terms of reference. The first was to approve updated discard mortality estimates to be used in ABC specifications for fishing years 2014 and 2015. Excuse me. The second was to review the revised estimate of MSY that resulted from those revised discard mortality updates. Just to be clear, the SSC does not set or approve MSY estimates, so this was just a review. But we were asked then in response to recommend a new ABC for the skate complex consistent with the fishing mortality limit and for 2014 and 2015. And again, including based on those new discard mortality estimates. So our comments on discard mortality, this was all in response to a recent paper by Mandelman et al. I've cut and pasted directly from Fiona's presentation to the SSC the summary of that study. What they did was looked at mortality of four different skate species for toes of different length. They looked at mortality of skates coming onto the vessel, which was fairly low, but there was mortality associated with handling and exposure, and you can see that resulted in a range of estimates for the different species, but that overall the average was lower than the 50% mortality estimate we use now. So the SSC agreed that this was a methodologically sound study and basically approved incorporating these updated assessments for trawl gear. The question was asked whether the same estimates could be used for gillnet, and the PDT concluded, and we agreed, that there was no basis for assuming that a study that focused on trawl would also be telling us something about discard mortality from gillnets. And so, therefore, we agreed with the PDT that the current estimate of 50% discard mortality for gillnet should be retained until we can get a similar updated assessment estimate. So, as a result of those changes, the new MSY is 36,415 metric tons for the complex, and that results in an ABC of 35,479 metric tons for 2014 and for 2015. In addition, in our report, you'll see that we reiterated a few recommendations and comments we've made in our past two reports on skates, and those include, first of all, a recommendation that the ABC control rule should perhaps be revisited. The control rule was established when this complex was overfished. Since then, there's been considerable rebuilding progress, and the control rule might not be as suitable for a complex at a different stock status than when the control rule was established, or it might. Again, we're recommending that the question be revisited, but not necessarily that a change be made. The second one, I think this has been in our last two reports, is that we should consider whether ABCs should be established either for individual species of skates or for geographically defined management units. And I think that might mean, for example, Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, and the Mid-Atlantic separately. And we noted that there's, you know, that increases both scientific and management demands to be producing more ABCs. But at the same time, there are costs of lumping by species or lumping spatially too much, and that we might be able to better tailor management to different species biology, or at least to different what's going on in different regions. So we put that recommendation forward again. And also that development of improved MSY reference points or proxies should be considered as well. Finally, I just want to highlight a few things that came out of our other business. First of all, there's two current members, I believe, of the SSC, Pat Sullivan and Jeremy Colley, and one former member, Dr. Sissonwine, who were part of the NRC work group, who produced a much-discussed report recently. And there was a lot of interest among the SSC in having a briefing and dedicated discussion of that report, and specifically how it relates to our work. I let everyone know that I'm part of a steering committee planning the next National SSC workshop, which is likely to take place in November in Portland, Oregon. Neither the date nor the location are confirmed yet, but that's the proposal on the table. And we've been discussing four possible focal topics for the report, for the meeting, or more likely some combination of them, which included dealing with data poor and model-resistant stocks, incorporating climate and other ecosystem effects, something about EBFM more generally, and something about habitat and spatial management more specifically. So we're in the process of still figuring out time, location, and batting around different combinations of these focal topics. We also offered our congratulations to Dr. Alexei Sherov, one of our members who recently was awarded an ASMFC Award of Excellence. And we said farewell and thanks and best of luck to John Anila, who is leaving GMRI, leaving the SSC, and leaving New England to head home to New Zealand. John's been on the committee since I've been there, and speaking personally, I can say I've really enjoyed working with him, learned a lot from him, and he's been one of our most dedicated members. He'll be missed. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Jake, and to all the SSC. Question for Jake. Jim.
Thank you. I just have a few comments on topics that Jake raised. Because the Science Center is involved with the stock assessments. So first of all, I'd like to tell you on scallops that we received through Tom Neese the recommendations from the SSC, and so we're working on incorporating those into the scallop terms of reference. For the Gulf of Maine haddock, at the NRCC meeting that took place recently, that got elevated all the way to being a benchmark stock assessment. So that's scheduled for July in the SAW-SARC process. So there will be a complete evaluation of all the aspects of the stock, probably far beyond what was envisioned when people were just calling for an update. And this got, because this got added very recently, we've sent out the draft terms of reference to the NRCC partners, asking for them to return their recommendations on the terms of reference for that stock. And I believe the date that I wanted comments back was in early January. So they've been out for about 2 or 3 weeks already. I don't know if you've seen them. And then finally, on the pollock, Gulf of Maine winter flounder, and Georges Bank winter flounder, those also were talked about at the NRCC meeting, and they're now scheduled for updates through the process that we use, the operational assessment process, and that work will be done this spring and summer, and a peer review is envisioned for August. And I know that there was some talk about the SSC being involved in the peer review. So those are my clarifications. Thank you.
David.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Regarding Gulf of Maine Haddock and the summary of your recommendations, the SSC's recommendations, I'd like to focus on number 3 for a moment and just get a clarification and some additional information if you can provide it. My read of that summary of recommendations number 3 is that right now the SSC cannot use other types of information to address TORs, questions that the council asks the SSC, such as, are haddock more widespread in the Gulf of Maine? That's my understanding, that you cannot use that other type of information. What exactly is the SSC recommending regarding what is needed? What does the council need to do in order to provide the SSC with the means to use other types of information? Did the SSC get into that? It seems like you were handcuffed a bit by what you could look at.
Yeah, thank you, David. So to your first point, I actually think we can use that information. Tom has pointed out to us before that the way the ABC control rule is written provides a series of default approaches depending on assessment quality and stock status. But that's preceded by a preamble to the effect that, you know, the SSC can use its judgment and whatever information available to set an ABC as it sees fit. But otherwise, these are the defaults. So that's sort of the expectation of where we'd start from. We have in the past, I can't remember the stock now, actually, but early last year, I recall us, you know, at the PDT's recommendation, essentially adopting a constant catch strategy for one or more of the groundfish stocks, in response to limited confidence in the projections. There had been considerable work done on the performance of stock projections, which showed that in too many cases they're overly optimistic. That's a problem that gets worse the further into the future you go. And so in response to that, the SSC had made a decision to keep catch constant for one or more stocks so that we would not be raising the ABC in response to projected biomass that we weren't confident was going to happen. I think that was an example of a sort of ad hoc approach to setting an ABC that, again, my understanding of the control rule allows us to do. But it was also based on fairly extensive analysis and several SSC discussions about projections, their performance, their limitations, consider different approaches to dealing with those biases. I think the concern was that some of this other information, aside from analysis of projections that might change our perception of a stock status, we'd be making, you know, fairly ad hoc, on the fly, and arbitrary decisions about how we might adjust an ABC in response to some sort of an indication that there was more or less of a given species out there, and that what we need is a dedicated discussion rather than at the moment we need to actually craft the ABC advice of how we would make those adjustments. We didn't get into what that might look like, so this is me stepping a bit beyond the SSC discussion, but we might include something that says we can make a 5 or 10% adjustment in either direction if we're provided with evidence that gives us a more optimistic or pessimistic view of the stock beyond what the assessment tells us, but that we should go in with those kind of rules or guidelines rather than make them up on the spur of the moment. I think that was the spirit of that recommendation.
Okay, thank you. So the SSC was not in a position, I understand, was not in a position to recommend any changes in the ABC for Gulf of Maine Haddock. Were you able to conclude from the data that you had in hand, plan development team information, that haddock are more widespread in the Gulf of Maine? That was the major question. Are they more widespread in the Gulf of Maine? Was the SSC able to address that question?
Right, and so that's another important point, is that whether or not we had the ability to make that decision, the PDT concluded, and we agreed that we weren't there anyway. So it was kind of whether and how we'd make the adjustment was kind of a moot point, since the PDT conclusion that the SSC agreed with was that we can't conclusively say right now that there has been a significant change since last year's update. So the information in hand didn't take us in that direction. And I should note that this stretches back two meetings now. We've discussed the spillover issue three meetings ago. That was in our August meeting, and then we revisited ABCs in our November meeting. So we've looked at a fair bit of work from the PDT on this, who concluded and we agreed that we're not in a position to make that change.
Tom, Terry, then Laura.
Thanks. I just want to follow up on your comments in response to Dr. Pierce's question. Do you imagine that sort of 5% buffer one way or the other, you know, picking numbers as you did, sort of out of the air, would that be ideally or perhaps necessarily informed by the work of our risk policy working group, so that perhaps any buffer like that, or any flexibility, we'll call it like that, would be informed by, on a case-by-case basis, what's acceptable for that particular stock? Is that how you see that working best?
I think that's a perfect venue to deal with those kind of questions.
Terry.
I guess that kind of answered my question, but I'm wondering if the council, I'm not sure, does the council get the opportunity to weigh in on terms of reference for assessments, and if that needs to be worked into the terms of reference for the upcoming benchmark assessment on Haddock?
Well, the terms of reference gets circulated to the council. The staff reviews them, the SSC reviews them, and then we prepare responses back and send them back. It's not clear to me exactly what ones you want to add to the term of reference.
Terry?
I was just thinking, you know, on a temporary basis until we got the risk policy in place. I mean, Jake was just talking about a 5 or 10% buffer each way on anything that they set a number on. I mean, you know, I think that's important to give them some latitude to not have to go by a fixed number.
Well, the assessment does not calculate the ABC. That doesn't come in there.
Okay, without cutting anybody off, it is 4 o'clock. We still have our SCOLP committee report, which was going to take the better part of an hour. So I have Mike and Laura, and then any burning questions from the audience, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. I could make a lot of comments, but this issue of whether the risk policy committee would be a good place to discuss these sort of issues that were raised on Haddock, I guess my sense would be it's an appropriate place for a discussion, but I don't think it's ideal. I think basically that problem requires some different types of approaches and analyses that haven't been done, and they're approaches that would analyze what the trade-offs are between various assumptions about the way stocks perform in terms of both mixing and potential spillover models when you have one stock that's much larger than the other. And that those sorts of analyses are now becoming widely applied in many places through something called management strategy evaluation, which, of course, you're very familiar with, or the SSC is very familiar with. It's also a methodology that was highly advised within the NRC report you mentioned, and therefore my comment earlier on was going to be it's a methodology which I would advise should be a very high priority for the National Stock Assessment Workshop. It wasn't on your list. I think it's actually very pertinent to almost all of the other agenda items on the list. So that would be my comment on that particular issue. Jake, you also raised the issue about the SSC being concerned about having projections that would have increasing ABCs in the future based on the strength of incoming year classes because some of those hadn't worked out very well in the past. And I understand that and agree with that point of view very, very much. But I would point out that I don't think those problems have historically been with scallops. So I think in this particular case, the SSC made the correct decision to believe those projections based on pretty strong evidence that scallop recruitment is going to be strong. Finfish case is a lot less certain in my view. And I guess my further comment would be the discussion about Pollock and other stocks where you have, as you described it, long in the tooth assessments, what to do if asked for advice in the future beyond the range at which the SSC feels confident in these older assessments. And I think the response was basically you probably get advice that we can't that the ABC is the same as it was the last time advice was given. I guess as a practical matter, that's probably the only thing the SSC can do. But I think it should be made clear that that is still giving advice. And if the assessment is no longer reliable because it's too old, that advice to retain an old ABC is no better than advice to change an ABC. And that there's no way of escaping it if we get to a point where assessments are no longer reliable because they're too old. That's simply the reality, and that has to be addressed as a problem of the age of the assessment. And I guess my final comment would be the National Research Council report you mentioned that is of interest to the SSC. I think certainly it would be a good thing for the SSC to see it, but I actually think it's more pertinent to the Council than to the SSC, and at some stage the Council may want to consider some discussion of it. Thank you.
Laura. Anybody from the audience? Seeing none, thank you, Jake. Mary Beth, you and Dee are up.
Yes, we are. So Deidre and I are bringing forward this report from the Scholar Committee on Framework 25, and Deidre has a presentation that's Document 4 under the Scholar tab. And we don't know how much time we have here, so Deidre's going to move through her presentation quickly, and I think we should let her do the entire presentation instead of stopping for questions in the middle. I have five motions on behalf of the Scholar Committee to bring forward. I will note for everyone that the Scholar Committee is well represented around the table. All five motions were unanimous. And we have two additional recommendations that for the Council to take action. And if we get short on time, then we will hold those for the January meeting. They're not time sensitive, so we can do that. And the only other thing I'd say before Deidre gets going here is that this is certainly not our last crack at Framework 25. We will be bringing a final action document to the Council in January. And on that note, I'll turn it over to Deidre.
Thank you, Mary Beth.